Something for the weekend. It's Trina Murray here, and we're thrilled to have architect Denise O'Connor in studio. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good morning, Trina. How are you?
I'm doing great. And obviously, you're very busy at the moment because you have your big event coming up very soon. So the Optimise Design and Optimise Home event, it's happening at the Dean Hotel in Dublin on Wednesday. So tell me, what exactly is it and what can we expect?
So this is the first of a brand new series of events that we're hoping to run. And really, it's aimed at demystifying the home improvement process. So what we're trying to do is to gather a team of experts that are going to help people kind of answer all of the queries and concerns that they might have about starting a home improvement project.
Because it's really taken off again, isn't it? I've noticed that even in my own area, there's skips outside everybody's house. And it means everybody's doing the renovations that they kind of put on hold for a long time.
Oh, that's it. Like everything from doing up their bathroom to their kitchen. Literally, as you say, there isn't a single street that you can go down that there isn't some work being done.
Yeah, sometimes I think I should be in the skip business. Oh, yeah. I'd be making a fortune. So you're an architect, and I know you recently did your own home as well.
Yes.
And we're always intrigued by architects. We always want to have a nosy behind their homes. And I know even when Dermot Bannon, his house was up for sale, apparently on daft.ie, they had the most amount of hits or something because everyone was being so nosy having a look. So do you find as an architect everybody wants to nose around your house?
Yeah, well, we actually I put together three little videos so people can take a little wander around the house, and like the feedback's been incredible. You know, it's just so nice to be able to kind of share the lessons that I learned, because even though I've been doing this for over 15 years now, there were lessons that I actually learned going through the process myself.
So what kind of lessons, Denise?
I suppose, you know, a lot of it was sort of confirming what I would be telling my clients anyway, like being prepared. So that honestly was probably the best thing I did, because once the process starts, that's the most unnerving thing. Like you can't stop it. There's no pausing. There's no, you know, rolling it back or taking a pause. So that was really good. So being super, super prepared, having everything ordered, having everything ready kind of ahead of when the builder needed it.
It's really project management, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And do budgets go over a lot?
There's so many moving parts with the building project, so it's impossible to kind of predict everything that's going to happen. And there will be hiccups, you know, because there's suppliers that are going to let you down. You might uncover something that you had no idea was going to be there. So having a contingency is really, really important. And I think as long as you're realistic about that contingency, you should be fine.
Have you found ever along the way that clients, they start off the project and they want a particular look, and then they completely change their mind, but walls literally have to be knocked down to facilitate?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really dangerous thing. So we try and avoid all of that. So our initial stages of the process would be very detailed in trying to get them to build up a brief. Because you definitely meet clients who will say to you, I love contemporary. And then when you start boiling it down, that's not what they mean at all.
Okay.
You know, they're much more into traditional styles, but they don't, it's hard for people to communicate that, I suppose.
Yeah.
So the initial stages.
So they like light and bright, but not necessarily contemporary.
Not minimal, or yeah, and they might prefer like a more traditional look of a kitchen, but they want everything to feel fresh and new.
I get you. Okay, yeah. Not clinical.
No,
some of them can be clinical, can't they?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's maybe a little bit of uncertainty as to how to put their stamp on things. So you find that a lot of people are just nervous about hanging pictures or about going for a particular colour. So they just paint everything white.
Mm.
You know, so that can be the issue.
You've got a panel of people that are going to be joining you as well at the event. Tell us who's going to be there.
So we have a builder, Mark Smith. We have a QS, Michael Walsh. And then there's also a neuroscientist, Dr. Michael Keane. So Michael is there to provide the science bit, I suppose. So the idea, you know, that we believe very strongly that a well-designed home has a massive impact on people's well-being. So if your home and your environment are, you know, well laid out, well designed, it's going to minimise all the stressors that cause you a lot of stress.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It can, but when a house doesn't flow. And they talk about the feng shui and all that, but it's more than that, isn't it?
It's much more than that. And like feng shui, you know, people tend to laugh at it, but it is founded on really good design principles. But it's more like day-to-day things that cause arguments, like kids not being able to find their shoes rushing out the door for school, or you've no idea where you left your car keys, or there's stuff everywhere.
Or if something annoys you, it just really annoys
really
you.
Does.
Like,
yeah,
for example, in my house, you have to access the kitchen via the living room. You can't go in through the hall. And I just want to get a sledgehammer to the... to the stupid bathroom that was put in, you know?
Yeah. And that's it. You know, it's those little kind of detours you have to take that you just think, oh my goodness, you know, if that was just different, everything would be easier.
Yeah, why was it done like that in the first place? Yeah. And I think often it's done in a hurry and that's where it goes wrong.
Yes, or it's done bit by bit. So people do tend to do, like you're saying at the moment, the skips everywhere. And, you know, I wrote an article recently about skip envy, where just because one person's doing something, your neighbour feels like they should do something. And really what you're doing is tacking on little bits and pieces and there's no plan or thought gone into it.
Okay, yeah. So is it a long process then, do you think, from when you decide, look, we're going to do something with the house to then doing it, the planning?
Yeah, it can be. It depends. So if you need planning permission, you know, that's going to take up 3 months. Depends on the scale of the project. But, you know, we would always say, do your research, do your homework, plan really well in advance, and then you're going to have a much smoother and less stressful experience of going through it.
I suppose it could be a great idea as well if you have a neighbour with a similar layout and you like the way they've done their kitchen or you like the way they've done their attic conversion or whatever, to go and pop around and have a nosy there.
Well, it's brilliant for people because then they get to experience the space, because for a lot of people it's really hard to see past how their home is currently laid out. So that's a great idea. But again, what I would always say is think of themselves. So it's really important that what your neighbour needed and wanted might be completely different to you and your family. So it's so important to kind of look at how you're using your home, what's driving you crazy, what's not working, what is working, and kind of build up a little brief from those things.
Okay, your pros and your cons almost of your home. Yeah, great idea. Because you do that when you're buying a house, don't you? You kind of look at the pros and cons, but not necessarily when you're living there.
Yeah.
When it comes to planning permission, Denise, how big does the extension or whatever have to be before you need planning permission? Do you always need planning permission?
No. So you can build up to 40 square metres on the ground floor without planning permission, but that's to the back of the house. Mm-hmm. So if you're going out the side, you will need planning. A nice rule of thumb is that basically if you can see it from the street, you're going to need planning.
And what about with attic conversions? Do you need planning for that?
So to convert your attic, no, you don't need planning. But if you're putting a dormer or any Velux to the front of the house, you will need planning.
And is it true that if you convert your attic and say you're now using it as a bedroom, you can't actually advertise that as a bedroom when you go to sell your house?
It depends on the headroom. So you need a certain amount of floor space to be kind of 2.4 metres high, similar to what you would have in your bedrooms below. So often attic spaces are compromised headroom wise and you just can't technically call them a bedroom. But it doesn't stop you using them as a bedroom.
Of course, yeah. Just when you go to sell, you say like a 3-bedroom with an attic conversion.
That's
or whatever.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So people know it's a 4-bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to home renovation, Denise, are there certain things that you would prioritise?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, the most important thing to prioritise is the thing that's going to give you the best return on your enjoyment of your home. So I guess what I mean by that is, if you're sitting there and your home is freezing, there's no point going and building a massive extension and painting it in fabulous colours. You want to tackle that, the insulation, your windows, that sort of thing. So really you have to be very realistic, because if you go and do that, your enjoyment of your home is going to be much better.
That's the time to do it as well, at the beginning, isn't it? Because it's quite hard to retrofit, isn't it? You know, so if you're doing your insulation or whatever, do it at the time of the renovation.
Definitely. And like I would say, anything you're planning, the more you can get done at once, the better value, the less stress, the less disruption you're going to have. So, you know, even if that means putting off a job until you can save that little bit more money to get the whole thing done, I'd strongly advise doing that.
Okay. Talk to me then about the budget and getting the most out of your budget. Are you somebody who would recommend spending a few bob on, say, the nicer fittings, or do you think that you can get away with spending a little bit less at times?
I think there's lots of ways you can save. There are things that I do think are worth spending a bit more on. Like we were just talking recently about appliances, and I remember, I think we'd gone for a cheap dishwasher and we went through maybe 4 of them. We now have a really good dishwasher and it's lasted for I don't know how many years and probably lasts me well into the future. So, you know, you do get what you pay for. I would always suggest things like floor finishes, go for the best you can afford. When it comes to furniture, things like your bed, your mattress, a sofa, again, the best you can afford. It's worth investing in design. I know I would say that, but really, if you think about it and plan it, you know, it is going to make a dramatic difference. And then there are loads of ways to scale back, say on kitchens. You could go for an amazing kitchen and maybe a laminate countertop. top mm-hmm. because something like granite's going to be really expensive, but that's something you can add in easily down the line. So there are lots of things you can pare back on.
What about if you had a kitchen that wasn't too bad, but you still wanted to change the house, or you wanted to maybe add on an extension? Could you reuse some cupboards and reuse part of a kitchen?
You absolutely can. I mean, some of it can be salvaged. We've done jobs where they've reused sanitary ware. We've saved floors and reused them. Again, it just depends on the extent of the work that you're doing. And sometimes trying to reuse it and patch it up can be as expensive as just going and replacing it.
I get you. When it comes to the finish as well, this is something that I'm very particular about, because I've seen it done both ways. In my mum's house, they got a fantastic tiler and it is absolutely immaculate, the work that was done. My house, we got somebody who was available.
I know.
And it drives me bananas because the tiles cracked within no time. The grout came out. It's pain for somebody who's going to do the job correctly, isn't it, as well?
Absolutely. And maybe that might mean waiting for the right person to be available too, you know. And, you know, we'll always stress, go and see their work. Talk to people who've used them. It's just really important to do your research.
I know. You see, people say that, but the Irish are so embarrassed almost to check out somebody's work. You feel like you're not trusting them. Yeah. But hello, you're paying this person to do a job.
Yeah. And you know, people I find at the moment as well can be a bit impatient, and it really is worth just taking a pause, because you have to sort of think into the future. If this all goes wrong, that's far worse than just waiting a couple of extra months or weeks or whatever it might be.
Can you tell me about this pay-as-you-go service? What is that?
So our Optimise Home service, we sort of set that up a couple of years ago just to try and make architect services more affordable for people. So the initial step is the design phase. So that's where we will come to the house, we do a survey, we go through your brief with you, try and help you build up a really good picture of what you want. And then we give floor plans and draw everything in 3D so people can really get a sense of how it's all going to look, and sort of advise on budget as well. So at that point, people can stop and we'll recommend a list of tradespeople, suppliers, builders, all of whom we've worked with. Or if they want to go further, we can then provide them with a planning pack or a tender pack. So really they can pick and choose the services they need, and they don't have to feel overwhelmed about spending an awful lot of money with an architect.
Okay, yeah. But a lot of people are now seeing the benefits of actually using an architect. For so many years, they were just using the builder.
Yes.
But when you bring in an architect, you really get the design that is going to work.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, as I said before, it's hard for people to see how they're using their house. So we come in with fresh eyes. We know what to ask, and we get a good sense of how people are living in their space. So that's the really good thing about that initial meeting at the home. And we'll be able to work through and help people prioritize how to spend their budget. So like you were saying, where to spend and where to pull back.
You must be thrilled then when you see the end result. It must be very satisfying, is it?
Oh, it's amazing. And, you know, I bumped into a client recently when I was out, and she all but hugged me, and she was saying, oh my God, the difference. And all we'd done was a really teeny tiny little extension, but it made such a difference to them, you know. Yeah. So it was amazing. Yeah, that is definitely the best part of
it. Oh, it's brilliant. Tell me, how can we contact you, and tell me, where do we get tickets for the event? The event is happening on Wednesday, March 27th at the Dean Hotel in Dublin. Hang on a second. Eventbrite.ie. That's where we can get tickets.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where tickets are available. That's
right. And what is your website? How can we contact you?
So the website is optimise-home.com.
Great. And you're also on Twitter at Optimise Home. We'll put all the details on our social media anyway, Denise. Denise, I'm going to be keeping your number. You never know when I might need an architect.
Yeah, delighted.
This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.